Now I'm joined by Donna Cooney from Green Party to speak about the return of free junk collection by Dublin City Council, also about plastic debris on Dublin Bay's coast and some other local issues as well. A very good morning to you, Donna, and thanks very much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
You're most welcome. You're most welcome. Donna, first of all, in relation...
Coincidentally, actually.
Yeah.
This is, you know, the radio interview that you have in the archives in the RFM?
Yes.
Was on this day 2 years ago. And I know that because it was the day that David Bowie died.
Oh, right.
Isn't that it? Isn't that a coincidence? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it just popped up. I just popped up my in there when you mentioned about the birthday. Right, I was going to, the day that David Bowie died, two days after his own birthday on the 8th.
That's right, today's his anniversary, and we have something from him coming up next, in fact. So anyway, Donna, you're celebrating your anniversary today as well here with Near FM, but just in relation to Dublin City Council's free junk collection, I believe that the city's five local area committees have been allocated roughly, I think, €216,000 each to provide the service, and it's good to see something tangible in return, especially for, you know, those residents paying LPT. What's your view on all of this?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that it's good to see funding going back to the local areas, and that, you know, obviously it's better to have collections from people's doors than sort of illegal dumping that, you know, we've seen quite a bit of that around, say, the clothes banks, where people just sort of indiscriminately dump items around. And it's better that you do have the collections. But what I would like to see us is working towards a more zero waste. So so I would like to see that we would be reducing our waste and going towards more zero waste policy. I mean, obviously, you know, some of that furniture and things can be brought up. They do great things with upcycling furniture and items, household items, up in the Rediscovery Centre up in Ballymun. And I myself, in partnership with Dublin City Council, ran a repair cafe, and then there was a problem with insurance and that type of thing. So, you know, some of that funding could possibly go to really, you know, things like the repair cafe, where people can bring their items up, and we had everything from furniture to, you know, to bags, jewellery, clothing, your laptop, printers, and, you know, and we had it in the local hall there, and Clontarf, and people were able to bring their items to repair them. And I was doing that in partnership with Dublin City Council, and I believe they got funding from the EPA, the Irish Protection Agency, to run that. And then, unfortunately, that sort of ceased. So I'd like to see more of that. And, you know, like in partnership with Dublin City, I mean, we've been doing a lot of clean-ups and things as well, like the clean-up Fairview Park. You know, Donal McGurk does the ones down in Dollymount on a monthly basis. And, you know, all that debris, you know, is damaging our environment. I mean, we're literally getting sick of plastic. I mean, I was down there, you know, I'm down on a regular basis. I cycle down for a swim.
Yeah, I know you were very involved in a major clean-up in Dublin Bay North towards the end of last year, and we also had the issue of plastic shards from Dunleary spill found in Dunabate last November, and there were also other discoveries of plastic material on other southside bathing areas, in addition to on this side of the river, Dollymount Strand and the causeway in Clontarf. So, Donna, in your opinion, apart from the Dunleary spinach, what's the main cause of plastic debris found on our shores? Is it mainly due to littering by the general public?
It's mainly due to littering. I mean, we don't actually have... I mean, it's single-use plastic that we need to actually phase out. And, I mean, there was a policy Green Party bill to get rid of single-use plastic and also have a deposit system as well in place, which they have in other countries. And unfortunately, that wasn't supported by the government. They're saying now that that they're going to bring it in all government buildings, and Croke Park led the way last year in having no single-use plastic. And in fact, people are just getting used to bringing their keep cups. You know, there's no reason we need plastic forks and spoons, knives. You know, can use, you know, wooden ones, or just, you know, reuse, just use your cutlery, you know. So there's other options to use besides the plastic, and we don't actually have any recycling facilities here. China was taking a lot of our plastic, and they're no longer taking our plastic. So, you know, it just ends up in an incinerator. So if it's not ending up in the sea, it's ending up in our lungs, you know. So, you know, it just it doesn't make sense. I mean, a lot of the packaging, we did the stick of plastic up in Super Value in Colestra. I set up a stall there in the summer and, you know, and really about educating people about plastic. And an awful lot of people, and particularly older people, were saying they just didn't have all that packaging. Why would I need to have two lemons in a packet, you know, a polystyrene packet and a bit of plastic? Oh, you know what I mean? I don't need to be buying my vegetables, you know, in all this packaging. And then people are having to deal with it at the end. And so much of this can't even go into the recycling bin. But even when it goes to recycling, you know, how much of it actually ends up being recycled. We're better off reducing it from source. You know, so having, and a lot of the shops actually were bringing in systems where they're trying to encourage people to use less packaging. So we are going that way. But I do think it needs legislation and it needs education. And then, you know, things like repairing items, so that we're not constantly having to replace items because a small little repair thing that, you know, we don't know how to fix or there isn't anybody to fix it. It can often be like my oven, you know, the timer switch broke off my oven and it was like, oh, that's it. And that part was no longer available because it was over 10 years. And luckily enough, went up to Mastercare with the part and they were able to find one from an old oven for me. But, you know, I mean, it's things like that. Imagine having to replace a whole big stove and an oven just because of a timer switch.
Absolutely. And just to touch back on the incident that happened in November with the SIAC construction, what's your view on the suggestion to bring legislation that would impose hefty fines on businesses found guilty of large-scale, you know, environmental contamination?
Obviously, you know, there needs to be heavy fines on the pollution of our environment, because I mean you can't even repair, even with the cost is huge to try and get back what you have, the loss of the environment and the habitat, and sometimes it's not even possible, you know. So it's, you know, what we have in terms of our environment is priceless, and any, you know, fines, you know, need to be there, and they need to be fairly hefty. And also you need to look at not giving them a license. Again, the EPA gives you license, gives companies licenses, and they need to look at revoking those if they're found to be in breach of them.
Absolutely. And just to jump back to the junk collections by Dublin City Council, do you know yet, I'm not expecting you to know, but I'm just wondering, for the sake of our listeners, when collections will begin, how often they will be, possibly once a month, is it?
No, these collections, I mean, these are for the big household collections.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's normally it was once a year that we would get it. I can't see that amount of money going more past that. And, you know, so, but it's just giving people enough notice. I hope that it would be in the summertime, so it gives people time, you know, and, you know, we can't be doing it if we get snow at the end of this month. So, I mean, obviously, time isn't well where the weather's good. Give people a lot of notice in advance. And if you could possibly look at, if people could look at education, how they might actually reuse or sell on or give away. There was a site where people can give away free items, you know, because what is one person's waste is somebody else's treasure, you know.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the first option is often to see if somebody else would like your item, you know. There's people starting off in life, so it would love to, you know, somebody else's, you know, if you're replacing your sofa or whatever, somebody else might like it. Maybe somebody else can actually reupholster it, you know, looking at how we can upcycle and reuse our waste and find another home for it. So that's would be my first preference. And anything else that is collected when Dublin City Council do collect it, that they would then also look for a new home and either reuse or recycle any of the items.
Right, I was a bit over-optimistic there with a once-per-month collection. But still, once a year is very good.
Yeah. What do you think? think they're going to be running it. Yeah. No, they wouldn't have the resources to do that.
Well, people wouldn't have so much junk anyway.
They wouldn't have so much junk, and you couldn't have all that out on the street once a month as well. You know,
no, because you couldn't. No.
I mean, it would be unsightly if everybody had it outside their houses once a month. So,
Moral of the story, Johnny, get an early night's sleep. Donna, you were very involved in organising Clontarf's Nullignamon cycle tour. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, that was last Sunday, and I just thought, well, I cycle anyway, and I had run a cycle tour during Bike Week, and we'd gone up to St. Anne's, and there's a group of us go up and go for a swim. Actually, we'll be going up on the next is on the 19th of January. We go up for a swim in the evening, you know, so... So I just thought, well, you know, Nullignamon, I had to launch my local election campaign. I thought, what better? My favourite place to be is down in Nullymount. I'll meet up with some people, set the word out, and we'll set a tour, and we'll stop off at various points along the way, you know, of historical interest and recent things and campaigns yet to do. So, you know, we started off down at the Alfieburn Road site where the sale is, and we talked about the flood defence, we talked about the historical flooding that had happened there before even any of the reclamation, I suppose, back in the Battle of Clontarf days, where most people that died was because the sea came in there at that point, they were caught by a quick tide coming in 1014. So we talked about that, we talked about the Dart State, we talked about sort of positive developments, as in, you know, if you have sustainable developments like the East Point Business Park, that was built on the premise that they would provide the funding for the Dart Station in Clontarf, and how that type of, you know, sustainable development meant they didn't put extra cars on the road. They have a bus that runs through. So we're providing employment locally and also getting a Dart Station. And that's the type. And then we talked about the pipeworks and how that got Westwood, and we wanted a 50-metre pool. So we're talking about successes where, you know, where the local authority can actually... you know, make vast improvements in a community if they think about sustainable development. And then we were talking about the flood defence and the type of flood defence that they're putting in, which is a sort of an engineered hard concrete, big tall walls that we won't see over again, how we battled against them before, and they've come back with the same of the roadside and Alfieburn Road, and that there isn't any need for that type of thing. That's happening around the country, where actually the flood vents are actually damaging the environment, so that we need to look at softer approaches, more landscape approaches, more multidisciplinary approaches to flood vents, rather than just building concrete walls that are just concrete walls, even where you do have to build something with concrete, like the lovely shelters that we have along the seafront. They're architectural, they're iconic, they're something that you identify, you know, with the promenade in Clontarf, that if you are building something, that it can be integrated into the actual environment, that it can have a double purpose, that you can have, you know, a wall that also becomes a seating area, that also maybe becomes a walk area and a bicycle area on you know, on top of that. You see, they've done that in Brighton, you know, so there's examples where they're doing something that's much more creative and that fits into the environment, rather than, you know, a big high concrete wall that you can't see over.
Yes, absolutely. And you were also involved in the cycleway from Sutton to city centre, and saving the Fairview trees as well.
Yeah, well,
part
I
of
mean,
your recent
really
campaigns.
Delighted. Yeah, that was a win-win situation. I mean, we wanted to save the trees, but also the cycleway that was in the design was not a safe design. So we actually did really well in that, because we managed to save the historical trees and also get a cycleway that is best design. Hopefully they will actually look at that, because some of the ones now that they're putting on the bus corridors are not good. They're actually going to route people off in through Merino, in through residential areas off the Malahide Road. You know, just ridiculous things like that. And also, you know, with this one that's going through Fairview, what's good about that is, you know, from the Alfieburn Road into Anian Street, is that where the buses and pedestrians and cyclists will not come in conflict. It's totally segregated. People won't, in the original design, people had to walk across the cycle lane to get to the bus stop, which ridiculous. I mean, there's a bus, we timed it, there was a bus every 40 seconds because they were coming from the Malahide, the Hoth Road and Clontarf Road. So you could imagine then when they put in a quality bus, rapid bus corridor, it was going to be even more, you know, frequent, and people were going to have to cross the cycle lane to get the bus stop. I mean, just didn't make any sense. So this way is actually going to be that the cycle lane is behind the bus stop, so there won't be, people won't need to cross over the cycleways to get to the bus stop. So there'll be no conflict between pedestrians and cyclists or traffic.
All very welcome. Okay, so yeah. I don't know, we leave it at that if it's okay with you. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks, Johnny, and thanks for getting me on.
No, you're most welcome. All our pleasure. All the best to you, and have a great day. Take care, and we'll talk again.
All right, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
You're most welcome. Now, that was Donna Cooney, Green Party, talking about return of Dublin City Council's free junk collection, plastic debris on our coast in Dublin, and some other local issues for Dublin Bay North.